Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. How you doing? Welcome to the Huddle with Israel Doctrine. I'm your host, Carl Labatt, and you have now entered into the Huddle. And the Huddle will be moving to Black Intelligentsia Live 365 on Live 365, people. I will be taking this show over to Live 365. So just look for the information on my YouTube page, which is youtube.com/Israel Doctrine, and you'll be able to get updates on where this show is moving to. I'm trying to take my efforts and money over there, seeing that there's a better platform to me where I can broadcast all day, play music, and talk to the people on the number that I purchased for y'all to call in. So it's going to take a little money and it's going to take a little time and effort to build Black Intelligentsia over there on Live 365. And I'm doing this that I might have a bigger platform and talk longer, more, DJ a little bit, saying that I'm a music man and love music, and play inspirational music, inspirational audio, inspirational things for the Black community, seeing that there's a lot going on. But let's get down to the business this morning, because I needed to wake up and do this show and, you know, explain to people what's going to start happening today. So this show is entitled The Amon Ra Squad and Their Pseudoship in Christianity, Dung Cakes Now. Because they tossing a lot of dung cakes around, people. They've been doing it for years now, you know, and in quoting a lot of scholars and a lot of articles and things, you know, they have got the reputation of being so-called scholars in the community. But as I asked them before, do you have biblical scholarship? Now, when I say biblical scholarship, I'm talking about how scholarly are you in the text, Bible? Y'all know I'm a textual person. It seems they have no scholarship in the text of the Bible, the text itself. You know what I'm saying? This will go down to, you know, speaking Hebrew, right? People going and studying the Hebrew text. This is speaking Greek, people studying the Greek text to see what, you know, they did to compile the KJV. Then in that, they don't do the scholarship in how it was brought about. They talk about King James like you got to be scholarly on King James if he was a homosexual, if he was not a homosexual, if he wrote love letters, this, that, and the other. You know, we had Daniela step up to the plate and start dealing with that situation and getting into King James and stuff like that. I'm not a big fan of a man named King James. He's not my Lord and Savior. I don't worship him. I don't talk to him, seeing he's a dead man today. I don't have no care for him like that. What I do care for is the translated text that he brought to the world in 1611, seeing that that's the publishing date on it. And the textual information that you find within the bond areas or the bound areas of the book. So I don't see the Hebrew speaking squad member. I don't see the Greek speaking squad member. Go and get the Hebrew text, the Greek text, and go through them like crazy. They don't care about Christianity, right? So therefore, they don't deal with it over there. They trying to knock people and stop them from being Christians, right? So what happened is this, people, some brothers that I know in a conversation that started here on the Huddle traveled over to the Amon Ra Squad show last night. And they were speaking with the brothers about Christianity. And in speaking with them, you know, no scholarship really needed, but pseudoship put on the table, that Jesus, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Christ, right? We can just go to John. Let's just go to the text, seeing that Unc wanted to play the text thing, right? Let's just go to the text. John 4 and 25 said, a woman said unto him, I know of Messiah's coming, which is called Christ. So even in their day, they just didn't call him to the Christ, seeing that they were still using the Hebrew tongue as much as possible, or things that related to the Hebrew tongue and denoting who Jesus, even the English name, which I use, right? Yahshua, Yahushua, whatever, whatever, right? I don't try to speak the mother tongue, right? But the woman said, Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. So we see he's being called Christ, but it's also other terminologies to denote who he is. When he come, he will teach us all things, right? So now, which is called Christ. So when you go 1 Corinthians 10, we're going to see how long, based up on the literary text, Christ been around and followers of Christ been around, right? Because they'll take you to the historical thing and say Christos and this, that, and everything else, right? So if we go to 1 Corinthians 10 and pick it up in 1, it said, moreover, brother, and I would not that you should be ignorant, how all our father was under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So, Messiah, Christ has been around, God anointed has been around for a long time, right? I read and dealt with it yesterday, earlier, how God, thou God, your God, anointed thee. So God and his anointed, who is also God, right? Seeing that it's the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was also known as God in the beginning. The two have been around forever, and Christ has been around forever. And the Israelites in a mixed multitude that came out in Exodus 12, right, which I read this yesterday. It's forever teaching this book in the textual criticism that it get, seeing that people try to deal with the text, right? Let's go to Exodus 12. And we'll pick it up at 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. It's saying men, so you will know that these are Israelites. These are males, not Egyptians, right? Then we go down to 38. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and their flock and herd, even very much cattle, right? So we see people that a mixed multitude came out with these people. They followed Christ also, right up out of Egypt, right up out of those pagans' domain. And when I say pagans, because they worship rocks, stones, they did not worship the Creator. They had false gods and false deities over all the things that was played, the cattle, the field, the water, this, that, and that. They had gods unto them things. That's when you get into the scholarship, right? Yes, they had gods, deities, over all these elements and stuff. And the God of the Bible attacked them and dealt with them. Jesus dealt with them. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 32. This is for Bible believers. I'm giving them information and references out of the Bible. Because if you want to be scholarly on the biblical text, not the historical aspect of it, then you need to be able to go in the biblical text and deal with it. As Unc tried to go and make a scholarship move on Acts in Antioch, so on and so forth. Then make another scholarly move and try to talk about when the time Acts was written. So did they write Matthew during the time of Jesus? No, it was wrote later, but those Acts took place already. Did he write his epistle during the time of Jesus? No, he wrote it later, right? So just because it's written later and statements are made later in those writings don't mean that it didn't happen initially before that, a time ahead of that, pre that text and everything. So that alone say you don't have proper reasoning when you're dealing with the text because you're slanted. Because of your hate for the Bible, you'll mislead the people, misquote stuff, misguide the people. This is a crime in the community of so-called scholars. And as I told them, if y'all really want to sit down and deal with it, with PowerPoints and stuff so people can show the work and y'all show y'all work, then we could do that. They don't want to do that, though, so then they get to cut my mic and say I'm taking stuff personal and emotional and stuff. In a time when they're killing our youth and killing our women and killing us, black men, black women, and black children in the street, we don't have time for this, right? The BS that these brothers bring. So, now, let's go to Deuteronomy 32, and we're going to show them forsaking they God, they rock and stuff. Even Jesus, right? So in 32:3, but I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His works is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right. The rock is the God of truth, right? Now let's go down to 15. But Jeshurun, which is Israel, wax fat and kick. Thou wax fat, thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then they forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Christ is Messiah, that's called Christ. By those that use that tongue, right? And you can look up the etymology of the word if you want to and get scholarly, and you will know from which Christ that terminology or that tongue come from when it say anointing one. So, now, let's go to Acts and Antioch. I just want to put that down there. Then I'm going to go to the premise that I told them last night. Let me type Christian in here. The point that the brothers was over there making, and that which I agreed to and spoke on, right? So with King Agrippa, was King Agrippa an actual person, people? If we deal with the scholarship on King Agrippa and see if he was an actual living figure, we'll see what time he existed and when he set over the Roman provinces and stuff that he set over, the territory, and then we can pinpoint in history, secular history, the time that he would have dealt with a Paul, who people will say is a made-up character, figure from, because he's in the Bible, right? But then we could take and we can simultaneously put these time frames and timeline together, right? But let's go to Acts. Now, I'm going to look here in my study Bible, and they're going to say Acts, the author is Luke, dated in 61, right? Dated in 61. So, they say the author is Luke, and it's dated in 61. This is a Moody Bible study Bible. I ain't got the actual I wish I had my ISBN number here. I could pull it up and show you the exact Bible I got. But anyway, let's go now to Acts 11. So see, if you want to get scholarly and sit down and do it, I can show you the actual study Bible, type it up and put it on a on a PowerPoint and show you this. If you want to see the references in which one referencing from, right? So that's the thing. Where your reference at? Where is this? Where is that? Either what we speaking is true or what we speaking is false. It's simple as that. You can fact check afterward. You can see if people lying to the people afterward and fact check afterward. Let's have a conducive conversation to bring about knowledge and stop, you know, jamming up the floodways of information. This is what those brothers do. They've been jumping people for years over there on their show. Not letting knowledge be born or knowledge make it to the community. So we're going to Acts 11 and we're going to pick it up at 26. And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, right? And taught many people and the disciples, which were Jews, which was Israelites, right? The disciples. Now, these are the people that they calling Christians. These are the people that kept the way, the culture of the God of Israel. And as Paul said, he don't do nothing but preach those things and confirm those things that's written in the prophecy, right? Quote unquote, Christians today do not do that. They don't even, quote unquote, deal with the Old Testament, and that's that old Jewish stuff. But I'm going to show you something about Jews, and I'm going to let Jewish stuff, and I'm going to let a man that had the right to speak on it, speak on it, seeing that he fought for us and our liberation. Ain't none of these cats on the front line fighting for our liberation like that. They selling damn shoes and saying economics is going to be the way we get up out of this situation. No, morals and values and love for our brother, that if we see the cops or anybody just sitting there choking one of us in the street, that one cop cannot stand up there and just allow his partner to just choke one down in the street and the whole community sitting there watching another cop, a cop choke the life out of a black man. We don't love him enough to put our life on the line or love the young sister enough as a black teacher standing up there watching that situation to grab a cop and say, hold up, brother, this is not the way you're going to handle this. You know what I'm saying? Man standing up and being men. And we know talk like this can get motherfuckers to come knock on your door and lock you up right now, saying defend black lives against killer cops. King Noble is the example, and the sister, whatever her name is, the example of that. So, yeah, it's a fine, thin line that I'm walking right now. But that's the way I believe in my heart, that anytime you sit up and watch a man choke another man life to death when he's supposed to be the authority figure and being able to deal with that in another shape, form, or fashion in the community, watch it, then that man blood is on your hand, too. We seen blacks, African Americans, crowd of European or white men, and I ain't got nothing against racism. I'm not racist, but I'm just saying what our people doing and what's going on in our community. And this scholarship or this truth and this information is the same way. If you would sit up and watch somebody lie, bombard somebody, you might as well be a cop that's choking the life out of a black life. Why? Because you're doing the same thing. You're killing the information and things that can give people the knowledge and the power to free themselves. And when you had the Black Power fucking movement, these people was Christians, and they had the heart and the information by whatever means to go out there, speak to their people, rally their people, and put the spirit in their people to do what it took. I don't agree with what Martin Luther King did, but that man could take weak-ass black people and make them go and sit down and prepare to stand against the beast. When a week before, prior to that, they probably was shaking, hiding in their house and saying, ooh, they might burn a cross or stick us up in the tree. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Those are Israelites, people. They lived that life. That Christian life after Christ, loving their neighbor, loving their enemy, and all of those things. Oh, they was punks. They was cowards. Nah. Remember, Peter cut off the ears I read yesterday. He was ready to go to war. He said he was ready to die with Christ. And if the Lord wouldn't have put it in his heart to bow down to that situation, he would have died with him. He was still sneaking along trying to be there. Men of God ain't no punks and no cowards. You had the deacons of defense with guns defending the community, like the Black Panthers, right? Panthers didn't deal with religion, but the deacons of defense did. And no white boy would have ran up in their church and shot up the whole church because they were sitting in there as men of God, ready for military war if it came to it. But I know y'all don't see that today, so y'all talk shit behind computers and talk like y'all doing this and doing that. Not just the Amon Ra squad, but the whole goddamn black conscious community. So now, the Jews, the Jewish people, the Israelites, right? Now let's go over here to one of the ancestors, as y'all like to call, right? Let me turn this up. This Kwame Ture, right? Stokely Carmichael. Walked with Martin Luther King, did all this stuff. Life on the line, fled, started living overseas and stuff. He tell the story of Elijah Muhammad giving him the FOI, protecting his life, right? Enough of that, let's listen.
Of course, Judaism is a religion. And we know that religion, of course, Karl Marx and Frederick Engels in the Communist Manifesto said that religion is the opium of the masses of the people.
Religious is the opium of the masses of the people, right? Negroes quoting Karl Marx, a communist. We know communism is the direct opposite of capitalism. We ain't saying socialism, communism, right? You was a terrorist back in the day if you had the communist ideology and teachings and stuff, right? That's what they claim Martin Luther King was, and say he had communist dollars behind him, helping him corrupt the system of white supremacy or the USA capitalism by foreigners, right? So he said Judaism, we know it is a religion, right? That's the term for it now, religious term for it. But it wasn't called Judaism at first. The Jews practice a way of life, and the practice of their life, their culture, they put a term on it and put Judaism. Now, do your historical scholarly ass research and find out when that first came about. It didn't come about when the Jews first came about. We talking about historical stuff. Something had to happen, and somebody had to fucking record it. And you hear about the incident at least the day after, or the month after, the year after, years afterwards.
Of course, this statement is correct in the particular instance of Europe. It is not correct, generally speaking.
So, he say, dealing with Europe now, right? People always want to get a European, a white man, responsibility for Christianity, so on and so forth. I wish I had a louder version of this. One second. Sister, can you hear it good?
Yes, please, brother, I can hear it.
All right. I got confirmation that we can hear it, so let's keep playing.
The statement is correct in the particular instance of Europe. It is not correct, generally speaking. the error that is made by those who've been dominated by Europe is that the particular history of Europe usually becomes the general history of the world.
The history of Europe become the general history of the world, meaning the winner of the wars write the history book and tell his story about what happened. So when people call themselves being scholarly and going to history, they go into the white supremacists, the victors, and they're giving us their history, right? And we're supposed to have an African-centered history, mind frame, and stuff. So when people say Dr. Ben or George G.M. James and black scholars said this, and then we say, all the hell with them. The white man said, you know what I'm saying? It behooves me when you find so-called Negro scholars, African-centered people, and then they bring in your stuff from a European point of view. Christianity was never in Europe first. It started in the plains of Africa first. Even Jerusalem, which is Israel, which is on that tectonic plate of Africa, it's a part of Africa. It was that land of Ham. Let's listen.
And this certainly should not be done. We said in the particular instance where Marx and Engels both said that religious Europeans were masters of the people, they were correct for Europe. If one would look properly at Europe, one would see that Europe has never produced any universal religion.
Europe never produced any universal religion, and Christianity is, excuse my French, a fucking universal religion, people. It's universal. It's all over the world. It and Islam and Buddhism is top dogs out here. Judaism don't even run neck to neck with that like that, right? But it's one of the major, quote-unquote, Abrahamic faiths, right? Not religion, faiths.
First religions that have come to Europe have come from the outside, Judaism, Islam, Christianity.
So he said what? It came from the outside. Now, is this man wrong? You telling me he haven't studied? He's not scholarly about his quotes? That he's a pseudo-ass nigga that don't know nothing? But see, that's what people will say about somebody today that will even just quote this man, which he's quoting Dr. Ben and stuff. He studied those scholars. The man was an avid reader. Full of information from books. Particular thing, and he's talking about Zionism. He said when he started with some organization of women, I can't be exact with it, but he said they started reading about Zionism, and he read about Zionism every month. He read a book or something about Zionism from the time he started up to the time he gave his speech. So if it's a lie, he told it.
Religions that have come to Europe have come from the outside, Judaism, Islam, Christianity. One would also note that the question of religious differences in Europe is dominantly intolerant. That is to say, they burn Jews at the stake, they burn Muslims at the stake, they burn Christians at the stake, they burn non-believers at the stake.
Most definitely. That's where you get your real black atheist, your real black man that's an atheist, because he don't want to claim to be fake. And then he claimed to be black, a black man. Then he claimed to be an atheist. But he was doing shows as Black Atheist of Atlanta. It wasn't no real in front of it. Black Atheist of Atlanta. Then you had the king of atheism. So nobody want to be the underdog or the man sit up under the king. So let me get my own terminology to put out there. I'm the real Black Atheist of Atlanta. When did the name change? Let's do the scholarly research on Uncle Cat, the God killer. But when did the real black atheist come about? Oh, excuse my French people, I'm pissed. A fucking real black atheist that sacrificed to a damn deity. But you can't say in your definition for real black atheist that you deal with a deity, that you sacrifice and do rituals to a damn deity. You don't tell the world that. But when I drop that audio, Now you all blah, 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 buck dancing and stuff, as y'all like to say. What the hell a real black atheist doing sacrificing to some damn best? Deifying some statue. You are a real black pagan. Like the ancestors you talk about who worship stone and wood and animals and all this shit. Excuse my French, I'm pissed. And I'm not a hypocrite because I believe in cursing or using profanity. If you have to use it to get your point across and it feel righteous in the heart, it feel like it need to flow off the tongue, let it flow. It don't offend me. It might offend y'all, and I'm sorry if it do, but let's listen some more.
Outside of Europe, certainly in Africa, we could use an example, the problem of religious intolerance, the problem of religious differences is not dominantly intolerant, but dominantly tolerant. That is not to say that in Africa one does not find religious conflict here and there, but it is not the normal way of life. But this question is particular to Europe. The question of Zionism, too, will have a lot to do with the particular history of Europe, not with the particular history of areas outside of Europe, and particularly Africa. Of course, this question of Judaism as a religion is necessary for us to understand.
So the question is Judaism, right? Because you had your Greco-Roman Jews, Judaism. Once again, do the scholarly and don't do the pseudo-ship. And go get it, and let me see you put it on a PowerPoint and present it to the people. Or give us the page and stuff where you're getting your information, since everybody got to put a fucking reference down when it's time to put some information down. You can't just state it and people fact check it, right? So go and find me Judaism and see if Judaism wasn't before Christianity, because you can go read where the Jews had converted the Edomites, and they would start coming in, and they kept the Jewish way, what was called Judaism. Way before Christ came on the scene, this is with the Maccabees, way before Christ came on the scene, and they start calling it Christianity after him, the Jewish way of life. Right? Fact check it.
As a revolutionary, I understand, unlike Mr. Marx and Mr. Engels, that religion is not the opium of the masses, but on the contrary, religion must be used as an arm by the revolutionary forces.
It's not the opium of the masses. You could say it's the opium that, like on Vietnam and stuff, when people took drugs so they can go out there and they can do senseless killings or whatever. You can make that comparison, because you will make it trying to downplay what this brother is saying. I know, because that's the way niggas do. They are better Negro than the next, and what they say is it's the all in the all be all and so on and so forth. Not what the elders said. We can't learn from the elders. They was lacking technology and information and didn't have what it took to get to what we can get today, with E1, B1, and all this different stuff that then goes always spewing out of his damn mouth, right? So what's that to say about us? Because we're not accomplishing or putting our lives on the line like they did, meaning they had something in us that's been watered down in today's Negro. You got no kahunas like they did. Niggas Twitter finger, Facebook finger, you know, scholars and this and that, all because you can go to Wikipedia or whatever. Nigga, please. Let's hear what the man say. My bad. I just can't help but speaking. I'm pissed, though, people.
Unlike Mr. Marx and Mr. Engels, that religion is not the opium of the masses, but on the contrary, religion must be used as an arm by the revolutionary forces. Certainly, our history has demonstrated this. Just since we're speaking all the time of Martin Luther King is a clear example, but even if you go back to our history, you will find those who've been inspired to fight for the people, that their motivations come from religious inspiration. So we then, as revolutionaries, do not consider religion to be the opium of the masses, not us. We say the tradition here is entirely different in Africa. The religion of Judaism and Zionism must be, the religion of Judaism and the political philosophy of Zionism must be completely separate.
Right. Now, let's take this to the Pan-African conversation, right? Anybody want to speak over here on the line, 409? I don't know who you are. If you want to speak, hit one. We in overtime. If you want to hit, if you want your voice heard any before the blog talk fall off, hit one. That's why I open up the blog talk. So if one want to speak, don't know who you are. So, as he say, Judaism is the religion. Zionism is the political philosophy. Christianity is Garvey's religion. Pan-Africanism is his political philosophy, black nationalism, right? You would say, oh, they're not one and the same in the sense of what he was finna talk about. And y'all can go find that video if you listen to the man and listen to his videos. He just don't say this in one video. He don't say this at one debate. You know what I'm saying? He don't say this. It was like those that gave speeches and lectures at that time. They would go to this city because you couldn't, you could record it and stuff. But since the recording didn't make it to this city, when he go there, it's just like rap music or any music. They sing the same song. They give you the same lecture and the same speech. Sometimes it's not with the same flow and stuff, but it's the same statements and information and talking points, right? So if you check out the man interviews and lectures and speeches, you will see that he make the same sentiments over and over and over again. Martin Luther King, I Had a Dream speech was not spoken the first time in Washington. He rehearsed it and he worked on it till he got it in his system. And that day he performed it in the manner he did. This is how they used to do back then, right? So you'll find that man saying that. So in that speech, you will hear how he's saying Zionism and Judaism is really not the same. But I have made the statement, and like I said, what happened last night on the Amin Ra Squad show was birthed on my show. We're dealing with Pan-Africanism over here, right? And Garvey being a Christian. The UNIA had Christian day-to-day activity in their organization. This man, religion and politics was together. It's not like Malcolm said that I'm a Muslim, but my political thing is black nationalism. And black nationalism is we controlling our money, we controlling this, that, and the other, and it don't have nothing to do with his religion. Right? He won using Stokely mentality, and Stokely come after him, or Kwame came after him, right? And he said, nah, we gonna use as revolutionaries, and Malcolm talked that, and he thought that a bloody revolution is what always transpired. Either your blood gonna be shed, or the people that you against blood gonna be shed, but it's gotta be some blood shed to have a revolution. Because somebody got to speak the truth and somebody got to kill the truth speaker. And if he fight right, he going to take some blood too. So blood got to be spilt for a revolution, for change to come. Because nobody just changing to change. Somebody got to get that blood, bloody hand. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it go, people. Even with the situation that we facing now. People being shot and killed and murdered in the street, and their blood is being shed in the street. What people do? They protest and boycott Black Friday. But bloodshed brought about that boycott and Cyber Monday and everything. Bloodshed brought that about. So you should understand that they're synonymous one with the other. That if no one see people dying of blood being shed, then they're not moved to do nothing. But thou should not kill. That's a religious thing. And then when you go into this religious text called the Bible, the Christian book, as they call it too, then you will see what takes place if you shed blood unrighteously. That's why the government itself, saying that it's a Christian nation, is supposed to bring justice to the people that those that senselessly kill and murder brothers, sisters, mothers, this and that, whoop grandmother's tail on the side of the road because she nervous and this and that, spray mace in her face and taser and do all this. Yeah, this is things that bring about emotions in the people. That's why I'm emotionally charged. Oh, Carl, you allowed yourself to get emotional. Yeah, because shit is going on in our community, and the people that are supposed to be leading the revolution or leading the people is on some pseudo-ass shit out here talking all kind of stuff and trying to quiet and assassinate the voices and the characters of those that's trying to bring something to the community to change the fucking paradigm that we're set in. Murder, 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 kill, kill of our black family, black lives. I mean, that's why shit is real out here, but people was playing games with it. And some of this stuff could have been fixed a long time ago if people didn't come along after the John Henry Clarks and the Dr. Bens and the Adam Van Sertima and the Jeffries and the Smalls and the different people and the fucking, what's his name, Bobby Hemming and Valentine with this pseudo-ass Dr. York and stuff with all this goddamn metaphysical-ass talk and all of this stuff. Some of this stuff could have been fixed. They gave your ass metaphysical opinion. And y'all niggas, that shit. And that's why we here today. No one can stay in the real world and reality with day-to-day actions that take place economically, politically, socially, and all of that. Niggas don't want to argue and debate that. But that's the shit that black liberation theology dealt with. Black liberation theology, study of God deals with that and how God look on the plight of the poor black Negro or dark-skinned people that's being oppressed by the white oppressive theology. That's what the hell this book came about for. The white Jews oppressing the black Jews, the Colossians, the better Israel, this, that, and the other. People, it's not no game out here. It's what you